You may have a seat. Today we're going to be talking about tithing, and you know, as I processed this message and went over it and over it and over it, and I thought, man, do I really want to preach on this? And I go, well, you know, I really have to preach on this. So we're going to cover tithing, and we're going to cover the whole tithe. We're just going to look at it in its entire context of the tithe. Does anybody here need a Bible? Raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get a Bible. We don't want you to be without. All right. And so as we process this and process the information on today's message, guys, here's what I really want you to look at. I want you to look at who you are. I mean, where are you at with Christ? I'm not just talking about money, even though today we're talking about tithes, we're talking about offerings. But really, here's what it comes down to. It comes down to your heart. And we've talked about this. I talked about it last week and the week before. And it's about the heart. Where are you at? Where's your heart with God? It is a heart issue. You know, we're so focused on ourselves that we forget about God sometimes. And so the challenge that I am challenging you this whole month of November is to look at who you are in Christ. Now, you know, we're talking about tithing, and some people are struggling with this. I'll tell you, there are some people that are just absolutely struggling with when we talk about the tithe, and they're struggling with giving anything to God. They, you know what? This is my money, and it's not God's, and this is my heart, and I've given my heart to God, but I'm keeping my money. Well, then the question comes up, did you really give your heart to God? Because, you know, they're connected. And if you love somebody, you don't keep something from them. And guys, again, listen. By the way, we have any first-time visitors? Awesome. Okay, we're going to have her come up here in a minute. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. She's like, I'm leaving. Give her a hand for being here today. All right. You guys were too enthusiastic. Give her a hand for being here today. All right. I'm telling you, man, you'd think this is a Monday morning, not a Sunday morning. But here's what I want you to get. Listen, and even for our first-time visitors, I'm not after your money. It's not what this is about. It's about you having a right relationship with God. That's what it's about. So as you listen to the scriptures, as we unfold this today, I'm just challenging you to look at yourself with God and say, okay, how do I measure up, God, with what you expect? Not with what man expects, but with what you expect, God. How do I measure up? And so what I've done is to talk about the tithe that started out, and I've asked Trish and Dom if they would come up and if they would give their testimony today on tithing, because they started about two and a half years ago. No, coming to the church. About 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago. And I remember when every November I would teach on tithing, and every November you could sense the uneasiness. Usually if they would tell me, I knew the uneasiness. But the problem was, it's like, man, all that pastor wants is my money. And my point is, guys, I don't want your money. I really don't. It's not about money. It's about heart. And so as time went on, they were even more reluctant, going, man, you know what, I'm glad you guys kept coming. And because, you know, this became a sensitive subject. But about a year ago, they started tithing. And so now I've asked them to come up and give testimony, and I don't know which one or both or how they've worked it out. But they're going to share with you the difference that tithing has made with them in their relationship with God. Come on up.
My name is Dominic. This is my wife Trish, for those who don't know us, and we used to be tippers.
We actually did it. We started out, we were only doing about $25, and we kind of felt good about it. Well, we actually didn't feel good. We just felt that $25 in the offering was something that was okay for us, you know? And at the time, we were making really good money. Between the two of us, and then we'd actually, right after, we'd go out to a nice lunch, and then we kind of, after a pastor was preaching on it, we kind of had this guilt trip, and then God was laying on our heart to tithe, and so we finally, I came home to Dom, and I'm like, hun, let's start tithing. And so he's like, okay. He said, fine. So I went and did the budget, and there was no way we could do it. Absolutely no way we could do it.
But not with our lifestyle.
Not with our lifestyle, number one. So we decided that, you know what, we were going to try it. We were definitely going to just do it one dime. We were going to do it. So we decided to do it. So from there on, we said, you know what, let's continue to tithe. So we stepped out on faith, and we continued to tithe on that. Meanwhile, Dom lost his job. And from there, it was kind of a faith issue for us. If we can trust that God with his with our finances, which is actually his finances.
I'll flip the card.
I love you, sweetheart. I love you, sweetheart.
We're following our notes. We might be here a little bit long today.
He's the jokester. I'm the serious one, I should say. If we trust God with our finances, then it changed us. It really changed us from our relationship with God, because now we had something more. We kind of felt like we were a part of the church for one time. We weren't just tippers. We kind of felt like we belonged in the church, you know, because now we, for the first time, it wasn't because of us, but the church actually was making budget. But it wasn't because of us. It was because of other people. But we kind of felt like, you know what, we had something to do with it. And so it kind of made us feel like, okay, maybe God, we are doing something right here. So we continue to do it. My husband has lost his job, is still unemployed, and we're still tithing. And it's a trust issue. And we are short the tithe every single month. Our budget is short, negative, the amount we give in tithe.
And so how God takes care of us.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Very good.
I love you too.
That's my line. She has most of it. That's my line.
But it also changed our relationship too with God, because it made us closer to God, and it's changed us how we look at things, because it's a trust issue. We pray, and it's everything we do now is made us closer to God and what we've done. So, and I just encourage everybody to try it.
Amen. One last thing.
You're bigger than me.
Don't you forget that. We did a little research. After many, many hours. God, man, woman, cats. Pastors who do not like cats.
You give a man your pulpit and God only knows what's going to happen. Well, you know, the only reason he threw that thing in about cats was to make himself feel good. But you know, let me just say the amazing thing here with Dom and Trish, that through their nerves, I'm guessing they didn't get it all out. They were just struggling. They were struggling in relationship with each other, relationship with God, just struggling. And as they said, you know what, we're going to surrender and we're going to tithe and we're just going to trust God. That all of a sudden, their relationship came back together. It wasn't long, and Trish was coming up to me, and I'm just going to share this. I hope you guys don't mind. If you do, I'll repent. But Trish came up and said, you know, Pastor, I finally got my husband back. Because when you get your heart right with God, then you're right, and you're right with everybody else. And you say, you mean money does that? No, it's your heart that does it. But by surrendering the tithe, which the Bible says is God's, you're surrendering your heart to God. And all of a sudden, your whole life changes. So if you got issues and you got major problems, just give me money and they'll all go away. No, but listen, give your heart to God. Literally, I'm telling you, give it to God. And you say, well, you know what? I can't afford to tithe. You're not giving all your heart to God. That's really, guys, this is the crux of it. It is relationship. It is absolute relationship. It's not religion. It's not money. It is relationship. And if you can't trust God with a dime of every dollar, how in the world do you trust him with your soul? I mean, let's just be realistic about that. And so today we're going to look at the tithe. And if I can, Kevin, you stay on the air. If you see Kathy shivering, turn it off. Okay? And if you see this side over here fanning, turn it on. Okay. All right, guys. All right, let's get into this. We're going to talk about the tithe, and we're talking about the whole tithe today. Psalms 50, Psalm. And I didn't even take no medicine today for this cold, and my head still isn't thinking right. Psalm chapter 50, verse 12 through 15 is where we're going to start. And so what we're going to look at here, before I can talk about the money, before I can talk about material things, I have to show you where God is with this. I have to show you that God does not need your money. Okay? Because some people go, well, you know, well, does God need my money? No, God doesn't need your money. He desires your heart. And so let's look here in 12 through 15, Psalm 50, chapter 50, verse 12. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Now, let's just stop there for a second. You go, what? Man, what's God saying? If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. What God's actually saying here is that they had a problem in during this time where the Israelites were taking, they were sacrificing to false gods. And these priests who were ungodly were drinking and eating the sacrifices that come in. They were drinking the blood and eating the meat of these sacrifices that came in to make the people think that the gods were consuming it, and that way the people would continue to give to a false god. And when you continue to follow a false god, what happens? You don't follow the real God. And so that's what's happening here. Just to catch you up to speed, if you were to go back to verse 1, you would see that. So he says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Listen, God owns everything. So do you realize that every dime that you bring in, everything that you bring into your household, everything that you have is actually God's, and you got it from God? Because if he owns everything, then what you have is his. Would that be right? He's only allowing you to use it. Remember, we talked about being a stewardship, being a manager or an owner. And the question comes up, are you a manager or are you an owner? Do you manage what God gives you, or do you own what God's given you? If you own it, then here's what's happening. Then if you take ownership of it, then you are robbing God and you're not being a good steward. God says, I have given it to you to manage. You know, even your life, do you realize God's given you your life? He says, listen, I give you breath, I take breath away. How do you manage your life? I mean, let's just forget about finances for a minute. How do you manage your life? Do you manage it as a steward to where you go, you know what, God, I realize that this is not my body. I realize it is, but you've given it to me, and you've given me life, and you've given me freedom to enjoy all things. But God, you know what? I'm not going to please you today. I just want to please me. You know, in 7th grade, 8th grade, I hear my girls talking about girls in school cutting. They're looking for relief. And that cutting, literally that cutting, is a relief valve from the actual pain that's going on in their lives and in their homes. And God says, you know, if you'll just surrender to me, you don't need a relief valve. I'm it. You know, if you just surrender your life to me, and if you follow me and you love me and you listen to me and you quit taking ownership of your life and you just become a manager of it, you will find life is grand. You will find that there is no problem. You realize suicide level is off the chart. You know why? Because people have taken ownership of their lives rather than managing their lives. And God says, listen, I want you to know, I own everything. I don't need to come to you for permission. And I don't need your money. I don't need anything you have, because I already own it. And if I want it, I'll take it. And God says, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you have it, and I'm going to let you manage it. But man, we find out later in Scripture that if you don't manage well, he still takes it from you. And if you're not managing your life well, and you got struggles, you ever wonder why? Man, God, this doesn't go away. God, I don't understand. God, I'm a good person. God, I do. And God says, here's your problem. You haven't given your heart to me, and therefore you don't listen to me. And then we have struggles. We have parents who, they don't surrender to God, so guess what? They teach their children not to surrender to God. And these parents have problems, and guess who grows up having the same problems? The children. And then those children, they go on, and if they don't get it right with God, then guess what? They grow up, and they take ownership, and then they have children, and their children have the same problem. And they say, well, that's hereditary. You're absolutely right. Hereditary from ignorance, not blood. Hereditary from pride, not blood. Guys, have you looked around and realized what's happening here? You know, they have predicted that in by 2020 in America, the mega churches will be on average of about 300 in size. We're talking churches in Texas that have 8, 10, 20,000 people in it. And they say a mega church in America in 2020 will roughly be about 300 people. That'll be a mega church. Do you realize that in America, that America is the only country that has not grown in spiritual growth? They've digressed? Man, Americans are just... we're spoiled, guys. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we are incredibly, incredibly spoiled. I listened to some of our missionaries, some friends of mine that are over in China, and you know they go to the meat market. They got hey, you guys that were here heard Jaron and Nikki, and they were talking about how they go to the meat market and the flies are all over the meat, and the meat's hanging, and they just got to buy it fresh, take it home, and cook it up right there. They can't stock freezers like we do. You know, they can. They'll make $35 a month in this today in this in another part of the world, and you go, man, that's like antiquated. No, that's happening today. $35 a month. How many here could live off of $35 a month? We are spoiled, guys. If we don't have two cars in the driveway, there's a problem. Man, if we don't get what we want when we want it the way we want it, there's a problem. Man, let bad service come in a restaurant. If you're not godly, boy, you sure show the ungodly side, don't you? Don't leave a card if you do that now. Don't leave a connecting point card. They don't need to know that you come here. Don't do it. Don't do it. We don't. No, I don't know nothing about that church. I don't even know God. Don't do it. But we're a spoiled group of people. And we wonder why our lives are in such a mess. It's because we don't surrender our hearts to God and we think, oh, all the church wants is my money. If you guys can release the tithe that belongs to God, if you can release it from your grip, your relationship will grow closer to God. Your marriage will grow closer to each other. And you go, I don't believe it. It's because you don't do it. You go, I don't think money makes that much difference. Yes, it does. And if money is not that important to you, why does it raise the hair on the back of your neck when God says give a tenth? Because your heart's not right with God. And you go, well, you know what? I trust God with everything. Does it really matter if I don't give him my tenth? Then you don't trust God with everything. You see how it works? Because here's what you're doing. You're still holding a part of you, and you're controlling a part of you, and you're saying, you know what, God? I know you're God, but I'm not giving you what's mine. We do that. But then we complain when our lives become a wreck. We complain when things don't go right. We complain when we got to struggle with something. And God says, man, if you would just release it to me, you'll find that struggle will go away a whole lot easier. And so, you know, Jesus never said that money or material things were the problem. But they are symptoms of an underlying problem. They really are. If I see somebody struggling, and just so you guys know, I don't go look at the records. I don't do that. I used to long, long time ago, but that's what caused this, and that's what caused the grace. I went, man, God, you know what? They're your people. It's your church. I just need to know what's in there to work with in the budget. I don't need to know what people give. But if I see people struggling spiritually, I mean really struggling, I go look at their tithe. And you know what I usually find out? They went from being steady Eddie, they quit tithing, and then they do this. And all of a sudden, now I'm counseling. All of a sudden, their world's a wreck. Their marriage is starting to be a wreck. Their finances are a wreck. Everything about them's a wreck. Why? Because they quit trusting God. And you say, money determines your trust? Nope, but money shows your heart. And you know, I've never been wrong yet. When I look at somebody and go, man, they're not right. there's something about them not right. And I go look at the tithe, and I find they've quit. And usually it's a month or two that they quit back. It just takes a while for it to... Because what happens? You get further and further away from God. Well, you know, if you're standing next to a furnace, or let's pretend that it's snowing outside, because eventually it's going to do that real soon. And so we build a nice big bonfire, and everybody's huddled around it because they're nice and warm, right? How many like a big bonfire in the middle of winter? Oh, absolutely. We're going to have one. Because it won't matter if it snows. It won't put the fire out like the rain did, you know? And so you huddle around, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is good, right? And then you start backing away from the fire because it's pretty hot. And so you go, okay, I just want to be comfortable. But then you get sidetracked and you start talking. You're not paying no attention. You just kind of get away from it. Next thing you know, your whole body's cold and you're shivering. You're going, oh, why? Because you left the fire. You left the source of the heat. Well, I'm telling you guys, the same thing happens with God. If you get close to God and you're snuggling with God, man, life is grand. And it really doesn't matter what's going on in your world around you. Life is good. And man, when you start getting away from God because you think you got control of it, all of a sudden, you start getting colder. Your actions are colder. Your language is colder. Listen, I can talk to some of you and go, wow, they are not where they were a year ago. Either way. Guys, I'm telling you, you can't back away from God. When you do that, you're not going to be right. And you're opening the door for Satan to come in and absolutely take control of your life. And he'll do it. By the way, he's more than happy to do that. Just so you know. So when you have all these problems in your life, look at where you're at spiritually. Look at where God's at in your life. And some of you, and I'm just going to tell you right now, some of you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so right now all you hear is money, 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 money. And I don't care. Because that's your spiritual problem. But some of you right now are struggling. And if you look back, the problem is you walked away from God. God didn't walk away from you. You walked away from God. There's an illustration that I found. It's about Dad, Josh, and McDonald's French fries. It says, Joshua said mine concerning his French fries. What he didn't realize was that if it weren't for me, he wouldn't have any French fries at all. Dad goes on to say, and the fact was that although I could buy a whole truckload of fries, I wanted Joshua to learn to share what was given to him. That's what God wants. He doesn't want everything you have. He wants all of your heart, and then he wants you to learn to share what he gives you. That's what he wants. And we get lost in that because we get greedy. The more we make, the more we want. And the more we make and the more we get, the less we can give because, man, now our wants exceed what's coming in, or if they don't, we can pay for it. But then if we give it away, we can't keep it. See how the insanity starts rolling? And God says, listen, I want you to know here in 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the whole world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pray your vows to the Most High and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. You see what he's saying? Did you get that? Here's what he says. Let's look at it again. In verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. And so you say what? If I give God money, then he's going to deliver me. If I give God money, then all of a sudden he'll take care of my troubles. Is that what you're saying? No, that's not what I'm saying. Because you're looking at the wrong thing. What God's saying is if I have your money, I have you. And if I have you, I have all your heart. And if I have all your heart, you're going to be walking with me. And if you're walking with me, I'll hear you. And when I hear you, I'll answer you and get you out of trouble. Do you see the difference, guys? You have to look at it in the context that God's talking about. He's not talking about money. He's talking about your heart. And he says, listen, if you give to me, I will give to you. If you give to me, I will deliver you. If you give to me, I will make you whole. What's he talking about? Your money? No, your heart. Because that's all that matters to God. It's not what goes in the man that defiles the man, but what comes out of the man that defiles the man. Not because it comes out of his stomach, but because it comes out of his heart. See, that's all God cares about, is the heart. And we're going to look at this. I got to roll on. Number one, tithing is an act of worship. Tithing is an act of worship. Genesis 28, 20 through 22. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house and all that you give me I will surely give a tenth to you. Now here's what he's talking about. He's not saying, okay, God, if you do all this, then I'll give you a tenth. Here's what he's referencing. God had given him a dream, a vision. And when God gave him the vision to Jacob, God said, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you a wealthy man. I'm going to protect you. I'll take care of all your needs. Listen, you serve me, you follow me, and I will bless you. And Jacob wakes up from the dream. And here's the most amazing thing. Jacob saying, listen, because God, you protect and you provide for me, I'm going to set up an altar, a worship place, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to give a tenth to you. And here's the thing that he does that I'm going to tell you guys, you have to get this. And make sure that I've given you the scriptures on your handout. You got to go back and read above so you read the rest of it. But here's what I put down. Jacob wasn't motivated by commandment, law, or decree. He was motivated by thankfulness and gratitude for what God, listen, not what God gave him, because he didn't have it yet, did he? If you go back up and read, listen, Jacob didn't have the house and all the animals and the wealth and everything that God gave him or promised him in the dream. He didn't have it yet. He started honoring God from God's promise. God just promised him in a dream, in a vision. And so Jacob said, you know what? God, I'm going to honor you just because you're a God that cannot lie and you promised this to me. He didn't receive it yet. He's doing it because of God's promise. Guys, do you know how many promises are in here? Do you realize that God can absolutely change your life forever and ever if you just trust him? Some of you are tithing and you're doing good with tithing, but guess what? It's because money is not your God, but you got another God somewhere else in your life. And you're struggling. God says, I just want your heart. God says, listen, I gave you Jesus Christ. Now you guys got to listen to this. He says, I've given you Jesus Christ. I let him, that is my son, my one and only son. And I let him die on the cross for you. I let him shed his blood so that you can live. This is what God's saying to us. I let him shed his blood so that you can live, that you can have life. And when I did that, I purchased you and you're mine. And God says, that is free. All you got to do is accept it. That's it. But from then on, every promise that God makes in the Bible, he says, I'll do this if you do that. I'll do this when you do that. And the same thing is with tithing. If you go to Malachi, he says, listen, if you give to me what you robbed me of, which is my tithes and offerings, if you give that to me, I'll bless you. Now, listen, I won't just bless you. I'll rock your socks off with blessing. It may not always be financial, but he says, I'm going to bless you. And Jacob believed God and believed his promise, and he acted on it before he ever received anything. Some of you, you need to act on the fact that Jesus died for you, and you need Christ. Forget about the tithe. Forget about the tithe. Get your life right first. That's the first thing. Otherwise, you're just giving money. And I told you, I don't want your money. I want what God wants, and that's your heart. So some of you got to get right with Jesus Christ first. But I want you to see that, man, all these promises that God offered to Jacob, man, Jacob started giving him honor and glory from the promise, not from actually receiving it. Which is just absolutely fantastic. So then he goes on. The second thing. Tithing is an act of holiness. So just as tithing is an act of worship, it's also a holy act. Leviticus 27:30. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Do you realize, guys, listen to me, when you tithe and when you give to the Lord, do you realize he counts that as holy? You know, we look at it sometimes, if we're not right with God, we look at it as just money. Oh, give him my check to the church. God says, no, listen to me. That's holy. That is holy. It's not just about giving money to the church, guys. It is about being holy, and what you're giving is holy to the Lord. Exodus 23:19, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Your first fruits. He counts it holy, and he wants it in the church. That doesn't mean you send it to 15 other different ministries. Listen, how many of you go down to, and I know this terrible illustration, but we're going to use it. How many of you go down to McDonald's and you go, okay, man, you know what? Give me the Big Mac and give me the fries and make sure you throw in a large caramel frappe, no whipped cream, but I want the drizzle on top. Okay. And so you get that and you sit down and you go, you guys, you know what? I appreciate all that you've given me, but I think Burger King needs the money, so I'm just going to pay them down there. How many would do that? Or you go to Red Lobster and go, you know what? Guys, man, that was awesome stuff, but Outback across the street, I seen they were a little low today. I'm just going to give them the money today, but I appreciate dinner. Who's going to do that? No, well, I don't know. There's some crazies in this world that ain't thinking right, but we wouldn't do that, right? Then why would you come here and get fed and call this your home and not take care of it? Why would you call this the place where you're getting fed the Word of God, you're growing, you're learning, and you're saying, man, Pastor, you know what? Man, I've learned. And then yet you don't support the ministry. God says, listen here, in 23:19, the first of the first fruits, the first of the first fruits. It doesn't say, bring me the leftovers. He says, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Now, how many here have land and gardens and trees and all that where you besides the firecracker farm? Most of us don't. So you know what? God's saying, listen, your first fruits are whatever you take as income. And you go, oh, now you're getting personal, Pastor. I just wanted to throw it out there. Barnes says this. In that era of time, that meant when you harvested your crops, you gave the first portion back to God for the support of the priesthood and the church. You didn't feed yourself or your family, nor did you store these, being the first fruits, crops, but instead you offered them back to God as a sacrifice. Well, since we don't do that with the food today, because we don't grow our own food, we don't process our own food, so we don't take that to the church, what do? We take our first fruits, which is normally a paycheck. Not the whole paycheck, guys. God doesn't want all of it. He wants you to keep 90% of it. And you go, really? You want me to give 10%? I don't want you to give 10%. I want you to give 50, but God only says 10. You know what I'm saying? So you go, I didn't like that answer either. Number three, tithing is an act of obedience. John 14:12-15. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then here's the kicker. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So it's about obedience. And you know, the thing is, we have an area, if we have an area in our life that we are not obedient to God, it's not because we have an obedience problem, it's because we have a love problem. That was the next quote. Because we have a love problem. See, when we look at what God says and we don't follow it, it's not about obedience. It's the fact that you don't love God. And you say, I do love God, but you can't love God because he says here, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you're not keeping the commandments, you're not loving him. And if you're not loving him, you're going to struggle, guys. And you say, everything hinges on my relationship with Jesus. Yep. Everything. Everything. When you're struggling, look at your walk. Look at your walk with God. I'm not talking religion. Forget religion. Religion will send you to hell. I could care less about religion. I'm talking relationship. Look at your relationship with God. Where's it at? Say, well, I don't believe it. Well, there's part of your problem right there. You know there's no relationship. Well, you know, I give him this part of my life, but I keep this part of my life. Minimal relationship. That means there's minimal love. And when there's, you know, they say distance makes the heart grow fonder. How many think that's just a big old pile of dookie? Right? Distance makes the heart grow fonder until you get comfortable where you're at, and then there's no more distance. You hear what I'm saying? Right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It's the same way with God. The farther away you get away from Him, the less you miss Him. Do you know why? Because you get comfortable with whatever it is you put around you. You're not going to be obedient, and there's not going to be a love relationship there until you make a decision to go back, until you make a decision to keep His commandments. The pastor said this, I personally believe that the giving of our tithe is one of the hardest areas for us to be obedient because it affects all other areas of our life. The fact is that the average church attending Christian, now listen to these numbers, the average church attending Christian gives less than 3% of their income. In fact, if every Christian were to lose their jobs and went on welfare and tithe from their welfare checks, giving in the U.S. churches would increase over 30%. So if everybody lost their job and went on welfare, Christians, just Christians, you lost your job, you went on welfare, and you actually tithe what you got on welfare, the churches across the United States would increase by 30% in what goes into them. That's hardcore right there. This just shows, he goes on, this just shows that as Christians, we're generally willing to give God credit, but few are willing to give Him cash. Like it or not, your checkbook is indicative of your priorities. If you would let me review your checkbook for 10 minutes, I could get a pretty good idea where your priorities lie. Jesus stated in Luke 12:15, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. God, he goes on and finishes with this. God has asked us to honor Him by giving of our tithes and offerings for the sake of His kingdom. To neglect that would be blatant disobedience. But see, guys, listen. It's the heart. It is the heart of man. And if you're disobedient, you don't love God. The fourth thing, tithing is an act of love. You guys seen five things on there and went, we'll never make it, didn't you? I narrowed this down, man. I thought five things, I'm going to get through it, and it's going to be good. So the fourth thing, tithing is an act of love. Mark 10:18-22, so Jesus said to him, and we discussed this passage a couple weeks ago, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So when we're talking about tithing as an act of love, but if your money gets in your way of following God, you don't love. If you say, God, listen, you don't understand. I got to take care of this and do this and support this and pay for that and do this and do that. And I know you're God, but you ain't getting this one. You don't understand. God says, I understand, and here's what I understand. You don't trust me because in your heart of hearts, you don't love me. Now, some of you are going, pastor, that's a guilt trip. No. Guys, I just want you to see truth. I just want you to see where reality is. Because I'm afraid what's happened is, because some of you are tithing and you still have this same problem. You don't trust God with the rest of your life. Because money is not your God. Something else is. What's your God? If you're not tithing, money is. If you're tithing and you're still struggling, there's something else in your life that you're not giving over to God. You need to look at it. Because let me tell you, love, this love, whatever is getting in the way, what is it that you love more than God? What is it that you love more than God? That's really the question. And if it's something that's getting in your way and your relationship isn't right and you don't spend time with God, let me tell you something, there's something in the way. And you're going to have struggles and you're going to have problems. And when Satan gets through that, into that door, because remember I shared last year about my garage door and how, man, it was just a little opening like that and them silly mice get in. Satan doesn't need much. What do you open your door to? How far have you opened your door to peek at something you shouldn't be, and Satan just gets right in there? Some of you have a life right now that is definitely subpar what God wants it to be. And you know why? Because you're feeding that part of your life rather than feeding the love relationship with God. And you're always going to struggle. And you can go, well, I'll do it on my own. I just want you to stop for a minute and look at where your own has gotten you. Not even at things, just with that peace right here. The peace that passes all understanding, that peace that God gives that no man can give, that nothing can give, because there's that peace that God, you know, there's a hole inside of every person. You go back and read Romans chapter 1. There's a hole in every person that God has left just for him. And when you don't fill it with him, you're never content. There's always that something missing. And then you go on and you want to ignore it like it doesn't exist. But I'm going to tell you, when you ignore it, it's kind of like running on a tire that's running out of air. You guys know what I'm talking about. And you turn the wheel a little bit and the whole car does this. Does this. So you go, did he really do that? You know what I'm talking about. I'm just kind of, you know... And if you ignore it, what happens? It's not long before you hear, because now you're on the rim. And if you keep going, what happens? The rubber's gone and the rim is throwing sparks and it's going to go into total meltdown. Your lives are the same way. Can't keep living the life the way you want to live it, contrary to the word of God, because I'm going to tell you, there's just like God makes promises to us when we're obedient, he also makes promises to us when we're disobedient. And you're going to pay the price. I know. That's not a terrible thing to say on a Sunday morning. So what is it that you love more than God? Is it your business? Is it your hobby? Maybe it's your sports. Oh, wow, man. Sports are huge in this area. Sports have become people's God. Absolutely. Man, I'm going to tell you what. We've had so many families quit coming to church because their kids play sports on Sunday mornings. Why do you think they moved all these sports, Pop Warner and all this other stuff? Why do you think they moved it to Sunday mornings? Destroy the family, baby. Get God out of the house. Destroy the family. We win the country. That's what Satan wants to do. Man, I think about that. It makes me angry. I got to move on. The bottom line is God is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And he's given you your job. He's given you your business. He's given you your leisure time. Don't put any of them above God. Just don't put them above him. But you got to work on your relationship. If there's anything in the way, you got to work on it. Number 5, tithing is an act of evangelism. Tithing is an act of evangelism. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-15. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So, and by the way, this verse 7 here that I'm about to read, so many people take it out of context. It says here, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I have so many people who take this verse and they go, see this verse right here, Pastor? See it? It says we don't have to tithe. We need to just give cheerfully and give out of our heart what we want to give. I would like to say you're right. But I do this. See, you took it out of context. You didn't read the whole thing. Get past the next verse. Don't you want to just, yeah, sometimes? Okay, maybe it's just me. I'll repent later. But here's what that verse is saying. So it's a slow settle in today, isn't it? Here's what the verse is really saying. It's not talking about tithing and giving to God. It's not talking about giving to the church. He's talking specifically in context. If you read it all the way down through verse 9, in context, specifically giving to the poor. That means you're giving over and above the tithe. It's not the tithe. It's not what goes to the church. It's what you're giving to the poor. That's in context. So it doesn't even fit with the tithe. But then he goes on, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. But back up on 8, and it says, and God is able. I want you to get this, because some of you don't believe this, and I really want you to get this. God is able. And God is able. Now listen. And God is able, because some of you don't believe he is, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Did you get that, guys? What, do you think all means less than all? Let me tell you what all means. All means all, and that's all means. You getting what I'm saying? All, everything, all inclusive. Like, bring it all in, leave nothing behind, that kind of all. And he says here, God is able. The big question is, do you really believe God is able? If you don't believe God's able, you won't live like God's able. You won't give like God is able, and therefore you won't get blessings like God is able. Remember I talked about the rich young ruler and he walked away sad? Why did he walk away sad? Because he didn't believe God was able. Do you believe God is able? And you go, I believe. Do you really? I'm just asking. But then he goes on, verse 10. Because that was a personal thing. Now in 10, we move more toward the church. Now may he, being God, who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now look what he's saying is, listen, I'm going to take what I've given you and I'm going to help you multiply it. Are you getting it? Look at what he's saying. Now, I'm excited. I'm trying not to get there, but I'm getting excited. Because I live this. Man, I know it's so true. And I don't know how you can't not get excited. It says, now, may he who supplies seed to the sower, that means God giving us our blessings, what we use, okay? And bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. When you give to him, listen, here's what he's going to do. He's going to multiply it. Now, I'm not prosperity preaching and teaching here. I'm not saying you give the church $1,000 and there's a check in the mail waiting with your name with $10,000. I'm not doing that. I just want you to see what God says. If you give, you're not giving to him in vain. He will multiply it. But then he goes on. Verse 11. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. You know, we do the baskets. The Thanksgiving baskets, and some of you guys are already bringing food in, and man, it's fantastic. We've already hooked up with the schools. They're excited. We're excited. And I had somebody bring in a basket this morning, and I was talking to them, and the Thanksgiving basket is actually what got them in church, because they just happened to be at a time in their life where they needed one. And so, man, we took it over there, and they ended up getting the basket. We didn't know who was going to get the baskets. We never know who gets the baskets. But they happen to get one. And because of your generosity and your giving and what the church was able to do, they came to church. Marriage on the rocks, family a little distorted, struggling. And because we gave, right here. This is what he's talking about. Because remember I told you that 6 through 9 is really deals with the personal side of it, and then 10 through 12 is more of the unity, the body. And so then it's changed the whole family's life. One basket of food changed the whole family's life, their outcome, their thoughts, their direction. And so they bring in a basket. This year, for a needy family. And then reminded me and said, Pastor, I'm so excited to give this basket. Because it's this right here that got us in the church. Guys, we make differences. But you got to give. You got to give. Tithing is an act of evangelism. Giving is your confession of your faith in Christ. Here's a great illustration, and I'm going to close out with this. The greatest surprise of little Mary's life was receiving a $10 bill for her birthday. She strutted around her house showing her prize to anyone who would pay attention. "What are you doing? What are you going to do with your $10 bill?" asked her mother. "Take it to Sunday school," was Mary's reply. "Oh," said Mom, "to show your teacher?" "Oh no," said Mary, "I'm going to give it to God. He'll be as surprised as I am to get something besides pennies." Man, I'm going to tell you what. We were at Liberty Ridge Farm, I think is where we were at. And somebody had pennies in their hand. And it was just a little kid. I'm trying to place it all together. And I know some of you already know. And then right after church, everybody's going to tell me who it was. And I'll go, well, it's too late. But I just remember that there were pennies in the hand, and they said they didn't want to lose their pennies, didn't want to lose their coins. Why? What are you going to do with them? "I'm going to take them to church, and I'm going to give them to our missionaries. They're for our missionaries." I thought, wow, how sweet. You don't want to keep them? No, our missionaries need them. It's evangelism, guys. How do you think that these evangelists go out? They come into the church. They share their vision. They share their burden. We pray about it. We say, okay, God, what do you want us to do? And God says, I want you to send them, and then we got to give money toward it. Tithing goes to evangelism. Now, we call it faith promise giving, but listen, if you don't tithe and you don't give, people don't hear the Word of God. And how many of you who've never heard who heard the Word of God, who now know Jesus as your Savior, are going to heaven? You know why? Because somebody understood the importance and the necessity to be obedient and to give. Guys, this money doesn't come in for us to have a great, big, beautiful building. It doesn't come in for my salary. Although we have to pay the building and we have to pay for my salary, but here's what it comes in for. You and me to hear the gospel. The lost to hear the gospel. People to hear that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. And that without Jesus, they'll never get to heaven. Doesn't matter how good they are, how rich they are, how beautiful they are, how ugly they are, how big they are, how little they are. It doesn't matter. Without Jesus Christ, that's the only way to heaven. Who's going to tell them that? Society today? Listen, society is arresting people for talking about Jesus now in America. I remember 2 years ago that there was a lady who graduated from college, and in her college, she was a senior class speaker. She had the highest grade point GPA, so she got to be the speaker, and she wrote it out and said that, in there she was giving thanks to God. But she had to give a sheet to the college of what her speech was going to be on. She had to hand it in first. And every time she would get to the point where she was thanking Jesus Christ, they'd turn her mic off. How many remember that? Yeah, they'd turn her mic off. And it got so bad that she couldn't even finish. And the crowd started saying, "Let her speak, let her speak, let her speak." And they kept the mic off because they knew that as soon as they turned the mic on, that she would give Jesus praise and thanks. Well, you know what ended up happening? Everybody stood up and started praising Jesus out loud, whether they believed or not, because they were absolutely against what the authorities were doing to the girl. But guys, I'm telling you, that's all the time. Judge lost his job because he wouldn't remove the Ten Commandments. Do you think that somebody is going to tell people that a lost and dying world about Jesus? No. The church is. Do you realize 4,000 churches a year are going out, closing their doors in America because people don't want to go to church anymore? People are being ungodly. They don't want to support the work. And then you look at America and you look at the condition America's in and the morality of America going down, down, down. Men wearing, talking and wearing, and watch TV. Oh, I can't even take it half the time. I just got to pause it and we wait 20, 30 minutes and then fast forward so we don't even watch the commercials. It's horrible. The soft porn that they allow. And America doesn't even see anything wrong with it anymore. Go down the mall and they got pictures of half-naked girls and guys on the Abercrombie and whatever you, however you pronounce it. Half-naked guys got their pants pulled all the way down here. And it doesn't even faze people anymore. I walk down the mall and I just get angry. I don't even go. We went last night because we had to take a gift back that my girls got. And we had to take it back and exchange it for a larger size. And I'm walking down the mall. I'm just in awe of the ungodliness. Ladies with their chest hanging out. I mean, it's 35, 40 degrees outside and they're still wearing these shirts that come up to here. What is up with that? You see him out there standing, and I'm on a hobby horse right now, and I'll finish in a second. Soapbox, whatever it is. But you see him standing out on the curb at the mall, not that they're selling anything, but who knows, shivering like this, waiting on somebody to pick him up. And I'm thinking, why don't you get dressed? If you get dressed, you won't shiver. And then our kids do silly things or our family does silly things, and then all of a sudden, because we don't want to hurt them, we support them in their ungodly behavior. Oh, well, they'll come out of it. No, they won't. Not until somebody tells them how dumb they're being. Knock them upside the head. Guys, I'm telling you, the church does this. The church is doing, well, at least this church is not afraid to speak up and say what you're doing is sinful. You need to stop. But even churches today are afraid to tell somebody that they're sinning. Because they're afraid that, oh, they'll pull their tithe. Pull your tithe. I don't care. It's not about your tithe. It's about your heart. Our kids are getting fed to the lions every day. And what are we doing to stop it? Closing our eyes and walking on. What? You wonder what the church is here for? I'm going to tell you, the church has saved many people, not because we do the saving, but because Jesus Christ does the saving via the Holy Spirit and uses the church to get the word out. That's what we're here for, guys. Changing lives, whether it's through a food basket or just straight up looking somebody in the eye and saying, what you're doing is wrong and you need to stop. I love you, but I can't support it. Man, my brothers, both of them were looking to get a divorce. And I straight up told them exactly how I felt about it. And my one brother said, well, take the Bible out of it. I said, I can't take the Bible out of it. If I take the Bible out of it, I tell you, you deserve to be happy. Divorce her and go marry your fifth one. Insanity. Insanity. Yeah, they got mad at me. Yeah, they quit talking to me for a little while. That was a little bit of a blessing. Because I didn't hear them complain so much. You know what I'm saying? Caller ID is beautiful. Oh, I can't take it today. Click. It's all right. It's all right to tell somebody what they're doing is wrong. Guys, listen. God wants your heart. And sometimes your heart's attached to your dollar. You got to figure that out. Then the next question is, do you trust God? Do you really trust Him? If you really trust Him, you'll tithe. If you're not tithing, you don't trust God. I'm just telling you, you don't. And if you don't trust Him, man, you're cheating yourself out of the blessings. You're absolutely cheating yourself out of the blessings. That God wants to, listen, God can't give you any more. You know why? Because He can't trust you with what you have. Where are you at with God? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, settle that first. Then work on the rest. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm not going to take long with this. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's what I want you to know. I don't want your money. I don't care about your money. That's immaterial. You have to take care of your relationship first. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's what's going to happen. When you die, and by the way, you're not promised tomorrow. You could die leaving this building. You could have a brain aneurysm that explodes right now and not even make it out of the chair, not even make it through this service. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will not go to heaven. And you say, that's what you believe, Pastor. No, that's what God's Word says. And it's never been wrong. So the first thing you got to settle is your relationship with Jesus Christ. You go, well, how do I do that? It's real easy. You pray this prayer, but you got to mean it in your heart. It can't be a head thing where, oh, I'll pray it so that I'll go to heaven and won't go to hell. No, you got to mean it in your heart. You pray this prayer, dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that I've done things you're not pleased with, and that's what makes me a sinner. And so, Lord, right now, I ask Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, save my soul. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, that says you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you believe that He can save your soul, and you asked Him into your heart, if you were to die right now, you would go to heaven.